Well, we're in Shimoni Esrei, Exodus 18. And we're covering the adventures of Moshe. And we won't be going through Exodus as such, but we'll be covering just the adventures that Moshe had. But we left off, remember, in the great verse 12, which was a prophetic picture of you guys as, what is your name? Yitro, or Jethro. Yitro. And he brought sacrifices, and they ate together in the presence of God. That's how verse 12 ends. And so this is the Jew and Gentile together in the presence of God, sitting down with a meal, and the goy brings the sacrifice. So we had fun with the picture there, with that being prophetic of these last days that we're in. So we have to move on, though, from verse 12, which was a place we could hang out for a couple years. So we go from the phrase, in the presence of God, to the phrase, the next day. So we're moving on, because the verse moves on. Moshe goes to work deciding every dispute for all the millions of people. And he does this from morning till evening, all day long. And Yitro says, lo tov, no good. He goes, what are you doing? Like, wow, man, are you nuts or something? You're killing yourself. That's a father-in-law, right? What are you doing, man? That's how it reads in my version. Like, what are you doing? Wow, man. And Moshe explains, I tell them God's will and God's decrees and the laws and decide all the problems that they're having. And Yitro says, lo tov, this can't work. You will just kill yourself. And the people will be worn out also, standing in line all day or all month or all year waiting to hear advice. So Yitro offers his advice, and it comes in a humble way. Okay, watch this. He says, if God commands you, so his advice is, if God commands you, and so his advice is, appoint leaders and teach them all the laws and decrees and ways of God, and have them decide all the issues between the people, and have smaller courts for smaller issues, and then middle courts and upper courts. And then if anything's too hard for any of them to decide, you can decide that one. So it's really, it was setting up all these other judges to do his help. And so that's the advice from Yitro. And what does Moshe do? He follows the advice. He goes, oh, wow, man. Like, that's a good idea. And so, and in Numbers chapter 1, there's a chapter there that explains about him doing this, setting up of all these people. So one thing to point out, though, in Numbers 1:17 is something that I wanted to throw out here. It says, do not be afraid of any man. He's telling the judges, the people he's setting up under him, Moshe's talking to them. Don't be afraid of any man when you're deciding these things, because the judgment belongs to God. And so that was something. The judgment actually belongs to the Lord. So don't be afraid of man when you're deciding these issues. Isn't that something? So this advice was used and it worked, of course. And verse 23 says, all these people will have shalom. So the people will get the peace that they want. And the word is shalom there. So Yitro went home, not having to worry about his daughter and grandkids being orphaned because Moshe's killing himself trying to do all the work. So that's a good father-in-law, right? All right, this setting up of the government is right here in Exodus 18, and this is still what most of the world uses today. Still to this day, this matter of smaller courts and middle courts and upper courts is still used in most countries today, and in this country as well. When my mom first moved to Colorado, she married the Justice of the Peace in Eaton, JP. Remember before they outlawed them? My dad was Shofate of Eaton, Judge of Eaton, right? And he taught us how to do things to not get caught. But anyway, See, it's advice coming from the judges. Yeah. And so he was the little city judge, and he actually could put people in the Little Eaton jail. That we had a jail, a one-room jail in Eaton, and people would be put in there overnight. And we'd go in the alley there behind the jail and throw rocks at the window and stuff. Mike thought of that. This is the point, though. In all of our courts, and especially, I would say, in America's Supreme Court now, which we say is not supreme anymore, this phrase, do not be afraid of man because the judgment belongs to the Lord, this part has been left out of most of the courts of the world. And it should be included that they should seek God's will in delivering the judgment. The Lord should be involved in the judgments. In the Supreme Court today in America, the Lord and His ways from this book should be included if you're going to follow the way it started here in Exodus. And of course, our Supreme Court has outlawed God. Not just excluded God, but pretty much outlawed God from their judgments. And so it's a sad, sad day for the courts in our states and also in our Supreme Courts in our states having done the same thing. But, oh, Lord. But anyway, we can't go there. Let me finish with this point, though. The goy who worshipped with Israel, Yitro, brought the offering and ate with Israel in the presence of Hashem. This goy, as we now can say, is you all, right? You guys. You have become, just like Yitro did, you have become a blessing to Israel because you have something to offer. Yitro had something to offer in this picture, and you have something to offer in this picture. The offering Wednesday night was something that you have to offer to Israel. And so the goy that is attached to Israel becomes a blessing to Israel. And so you could just call yourself Yitro and say that I am a blessing. I have something to offer Israel. Amen. All right. And then Yitro went back to his own land. And so we go and visit Israel soon. And you all said, amen. But we have to return to our own land. So we are fitting right into the picture. Okay, so that is the chapter 18. And so we come to chapter 19, which is one of the most intense chapters in the book. And this is, they come to Ha-Har. Ha-Har. It's hard to say. Hard to say Ha-Har. Har in Hebrew is mountain. And they come, Ha is the. And so they come to the mountain. And it's like, the music comes up and everything. If you're in the movie, it's always like a movie because it's very dramatic. But they come to the mountain. Now, remember, God's redemptive plan for mankind started over after the flood. He starts over with Avraham. And then it goes to the sons of Jacob in Egypt for 400 years. Then with Moshe and the burning bush is the next thing, right? It's very dramatic. So it starts with Abraham. Then Abraham has Isaac and Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. They're in Egypt. And then they live and grow up and become a mighty number of people for 400 years. Then Moshe comes along with the burning bush. Then we have the Passover, Pesach, right? And now, 7 weeks later, we come to Sinai. As you all know what 7 weeks after Passover is, we come to Shavuot, and we come to Ha-Har, the mountain of God, or Horev is the same word. So it says in the third month, from Nisan 14, now we come to Shavuot. And so now we have the next big event in this plan of God. As I just read the sequence from Avraham up to the mountain. And so we have come to this place at Mount Sinai, which verse 2 of chapter 19 of Exodus says so powerfully that they camped in front of the mountain. The music again. And here at this mountain, all the rest of the book of Exodus will take place. In this spot. And all the book of Leviticus will be at this place. And half of the book of Numbers will be at this place. So most of the Torah, the Chumash, will be at this place where the verse says they camped in front of the mountain. So it is the seventh week from Pesach, which is Shavuot. And here the words of Hashem will be spoken. We're going to get the Ten Commandments, which will be first, and then the rest of the laws, the 603 other laws, if you want to count them that way. The 40 days that Moshe is up there with God himself. And also, if you listen to Chaim, the oral law, the second Torah, was given as well. And I'm not going to say that the oral law is inspired, but if you're going to keep Torah, you have to have oral law because of all the questions, right? And so the observant Jewish rabbis, our friends, they all feel that the oral law, which is now the Talmud, was inspired, same as the written law. And it answers all the questions and gives more details on the 613. Okay, so we'll move on from there, though. The words of Hashem. Now, it's interesting, this word in Hebrew, no pun intended, devar, right? They come to the desert, which is Bamidbar in the desert. And devar and midbar are from the same root, which is also devar, is how you say words or things. Did you catch all that? This word devar is the same root. And so it makes up the word desert or wilderness, things or words. And to speak Hebrew, you mudaber. Devar is the word to speak. So all these variations of devar is here because how do you say the book of Numbers? Bamidbar, in the desert. Midbar, devar, it's the same word. And so how do you say the book of Deuteronomy? Devarim. Words, right? There may be a connection between desert and words because it's easier to hear the words of God when you're in the wilderness instead of in front of the TV during the Bronco game. In the wilderness is when the words of God came. And in the wilderness of the valleys of your life, the harder times of your life is really when you hear better. And there was a lady here in Kavika's meeting that's going through all sorts of trouble. And I go, well, it's in the hard times that you find out who you are. And it's also when God finds out who you are. And if you have any grit. See, if we all have happy ever after days, then how do you know what you're made of? It's only in the valleys, in the desert, that you find out really who you are. And so they're not bad necessarily, although I never want one to happen to me. But you all have grit, and grit's important. But the Torah, the five books of Moshe, or you can call the Chumash, which is how you say five in Hebrew, okay? It's interesting how those books got their names, because their names come from the first word or two of the book. And Genesis is Bereshit. In the beginning is Bereshit. And Reshit is the root of Rosh, which is beginning. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah. So Bereshit is the first word in your Bible. And so Genesis is called Bereshit, which comes from beginning. And Exodus starts with, and these were the names of the sons of Jacob that came out. And were in Egypt and came out. And what is names in Hebrew? Shem. And plural is Shemot. It's the book of Shemot. 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 It comes from, and these are the names. And then Leviticus is called Vayikra, which is, and God called to Moshe. And to call, kol is the word for voice or to call. And so it's Vayikra. And I already mentioned Numbers is in the desert, which is Bamidbar, and Devarim, these are the words or things that Moshe was to speak to Israel. And so that word is Devarim, the plural of Devar. Okay, so now you know all the Hebrew that I know. But it's interesting to see how the five books were named. They're named after the first word or two of the book. That's how they're named. And if you do the Torah portions, the Parashot are named the same way. From one of the first line, there'll be a primary word there, and that's what that is called. And so the rest of your Bible, though, isn't done that way. The book of Joshua is named after Joshua, Yehoshua. Then we come to Judges, which is Shofatim, because there's so many of them, they didn't name it after somebody. And then Samuel is because Samuel wrote it. And then you have all the kings, so it's just called the kings. What is the book of Ruth named after? Root. So then you have songs, which is Psalms. And then there's some Proverbs. And in the New Testament, what are the Gospels named after? The person that wrote them, right? And so you come to Revelation. Why isn't that named John? Because he already has one named that. And even the little ones, you have first, second, and third. But they didn't want to go four long ones, so they changed it to the Revelation. It's named after the first word of that book, the Revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. So it's singular. Most people say revelations, but it's not revelations. It's singular. Okay, so anyway, and then you have all the letters to the churches. They're named after the church that they were written to. Just like a letter that you would write. So it's just fun anyway to see how books are named. But in Hebrew, the Torah, they're named after the first word of the book. Okay, so they camped in front of the mountain, and Moshe went up to the mountain, and Elohim called to him, Vayikra, and said, "Say to Israel, you saw what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." This is heavy. I love this. It says, "You saw." So the first thing, they come to the mountain, and God is going to tell Moshe, this is what you tell these people. Tell them, "You saw what I did." Now, is that powerful? You saw what I did. And the great plagues and the destruction of Egypt's army in the water, right, is something that they saw. Now, let me say it this way. Israel saw all those miracles, the plagues, the deliverance, the wall of water opening up. They saw that. No one since has seen anything like it. Not one person living since then has ever seen anything even coming close to what God said, "You saw what I did." There's been some miracles and all, but the whole nation of millions of Israelites saw these things. Wow. But pretty soon, God's going to be able to say, "You saw." The way it begins, and then there's the whole history, and then there's the way it ends. The great events of what you saw in the beginning, and now there is going to be the great events which we will see at the end. In between, no big events, just the beginning and the end. So you're going to see. Pretty soon we will be able to say that we saw the greatest events. Yeah, yes, sir. We will see Mashiach come and destroy the last beast kingdom. And we will be able to say that we saw the deliverance and salvation of Zion. And then we will say that we saw the kingdom come. Carried on eagle's wings. Most likely the female golden eagle is what this means, because the golden eagle mom would actually put the chicks on her wings and fly them around until they were ready to fly on their own and keep them safe that way. And so that's kind of like God's nurturing and protection of his people. bringing them out of Egypt. Now, this is cool, too, because the word for wings here in this verse says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to, brought you to myself. Ooh, brought you to myself. Eagle's wings, like a mother bringing them to herself. You can get the power here of this emotional relationship here. Now, this word wings, though, is cool, and then I'll have to stop here, but it's kanaf. Kanaf is the word for wings. And this is an important word to us because it is also the same exact word also is corners. What is on the corners in Hebrew? If you say corners, what is automatically in your mind? Tzitzit. One of the most important commandments is to wear strings on the hem or the corners of your garment, because that reminds you of what? The words that God has spoken here in this chapter. It reminds you of the Bible. The tzitzit are the word of God. And so they are to be tied to the kanaf, the wings of your garment, or the corners of your garment, right? So on the wings of your garment, the tallit has wings or corners, and these are where the strings are tied, right? On the corners. And the tallit katan has corners. The biblical garment that we get from Prager, which I wore when Kaim was here, it has corners. It is slit up the side to produce corners. It cannot be a round bottom like a regular shirt. It has to be corners, right? So this is an important part of Judaism, which leads us to Malachi, which I love to go to the last book of the Bible, because it says, when the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his or corners. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his corners. And then you'll go out like a calf released from the stall and all that, right? So anyway, you know this story. This Son of Righteousness is HaMashiach, is Yeshua, right? And he arises as eagles with wings, but also as Yeshua with corners of his garment, which had tzitzit on them. And this is why the woman with the issue of blood said, this is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his tzitzit. She says, this Yeshua guy is the Son of Righteousness, and I need a healing. Well, where is the healing at? The healing is in his corners. What is on the corners? Of course, the word of God represented by the tzitzit. And so she sneaks up in the crowd. As an unclean person, she sneaks up because it's a death penalty to be contaminating the crowd as an unclean person. And so she's illegal. So she comes up and she says, this is the Son of Righteousness, and he has healing in his corners, his wings, his tzitzit. And so she touches the tzitzit and was instantly healed, and she knew she was healed. And Yeshua says, who touched me? And so really, he said, who touched me? Well, nobody touched him. But what is Yeshua's name? His name is the Word of God. What are the tzitzit? The Word of God. See, the tzitzit was Yeshua, as it were. And so she comes up and instantly, and he goes, who touched me? And the disciples goes, hello, like everybody. And why did he want to expose her? Because she was hiding, because she was breaking the law. And he just wanted to lift her up and say, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Instead of Messiah stoning someone for receiving her healing, he sets her free. And when Messiah sets you free, everybody else just goes along with it. Nobody said, hey, but she needs to be stoned because she wasn't healed when she rubbed by me. Nobody said that. Oh, it's a great story. Anyway, that's all the farther I can go with that. But this wings here, if you go to Malachi and then you go to the story with Yeshua, then it's a great story. And in my book that will be released here in a month or so, we have the hem of the garment, the rest of the story, which will be in my book. And y'all have heard the rest of the story on that is the greater context of who this woman actually was. And so that'll be fun for you to read that. All right. Okay, so we can leave off here with verse 5. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that were commanded to be spoken to the Israelites. So this is like the preamble to the Ten Commandments. This is like the preamble to the whole adventure of probably several years now at Sinai. It is, you are to be a holy nation of priests to the world for me. And so we're going to have to do some theology here on this, because this starts a whole new category in your Bible. Remember in Egypt, he had already told them, you are my firstborn son. That's unconditional. You cannot be unsunned. It is unconditional. They are his firstborn son. Israel is the chosen people. It cannot be undone. Unconditional Abrahamic covenant. But now we're starting something a little different. Now it is not unconditional. This part is conditional. Now, if you obey all my commandments, then you will be a nation of priests to the world. So we have a whole new category starting up here with what will become known as the Moses Covenant, right? And that will be where we can pick this up next week. I'm not going to get bogged down too much in Exodus and the commandments here. But we will stick with Moses' adventures and go through this as quickly as we can before we move on. But if you listen, obey, and keep and guard my covenant, it actually is a Shomer word. Keep my covenant is guard my covenant. It's Shomer. The watchman word, Shomer. If you are a watchman to my covenant, if you are a guard to my covenant, if you are a cop, a soldier to my covenant, as it were. Really? Okay, so anyway, and it's great because it says, if hearing you listen, the shema word is twice. And so it's cool in Hebrew that hearing doesn't mean you've heard. Hearing and listening are two different things, because if you hear but you don't obey, you haven't listened. And so please listen. As you are listening, please hear. Or if you're hearing, please listen. Shema, hear and obey. All right? Yavarekha Adonai v'yishmerekha. Ye'ir Adonai panavaleka v'chu necha. Yisa Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom.